Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Amy. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
You're doing chipper. Great. The weather's cold again. You like that?
Yeah, I don't mind. I just know it's going to get warm soon.
When?
Soon.
Give me the date.
Soon. Although, you know, the forecast today, I was looking and it said possible snow on Friday.
Really?
That's my shooting day.
Don't they know that?
I can't shoot sporting clays in the snow.
Really? Is that too dangerous?
It's just too cold. My fingers don't work in the trigger.
They don't have indoor?
No.
No? You can't do target shooting? That's not the same thrill for you?
No.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
They've got to be moving targets.
Moving?
Yes.
Very nice.
So anyway, we're hoping that it doesn't snow on Friday so I can still go out and shoot some stuff.
Backyard? Where are you going?
No. Go up north. Got to go up into the mountains where the clays are aplenty.
Aplenty.
Yes. Definitely. We've got a great show this morning, Lee. You know, back by popular demand, oftentimes we bring themed shows back because our listeners like them. They like to hear a lot about a certain subject in a 45-minute period of time. And we've done several senior shows. And I think, why do you think they're so popular, Lee?
I don't know. I guess, you know, we have a lot of business owners, and I guess their parents are getting older, and these are all issues that are, you know, important.
Exactly. I think that's probably part of it. But, you know, oftentimes people don't think about getting older when they're in their 30s. And we've had other folks talk about how important long-term care is. But Faye Van Treese is with us today. And it's interesting because certain subject matters are hard to understand unless you really have the right expert. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Faye.
Good morning.
So, Faye, when we met, we talked a little bit about long-term care, and it's complex. Let our listeners know, what is it and why they need it?
Well, Amy, those are both, you know, great questions. Long-term care refers to a broad range of services available to individuals who have lost some level of independence and need help with daily activities that most healthy people take for granted. The necessary assistance is often the result of a chronic illness, one in which modern medical science has developed treatments but no cures. Arthritis and Alzheimer's disease are two common chronic illnesses.
Gosh, and we hear a lot about that these days. But long-term care, when people are looking at it and planning for it, sometimes people think I don't need it until I'm in my 50s or 60s. What's your opinion on that?
I'm in my 30s still, and I own it. People can have things happen at any age. So long-term care is something that, well, basically medical health insurance does not cover long-term care. Things like if you're in a car accident or something along those lines that you might have a long-term care need would not be covered.
Sure.
But like medical, you know, health insurance covers things like a hospital stay where you need to help stabilize a certain condition. You know, if patients have not made a full recovery, they're normally discharged to the care of a nursing facility or to the supervision of professional home care. With many of these types of conditions, Medicare for qualifying individuals, people that are 65 or older, or private pay health insurance will usually pay for rehabilitative care, but not long-term care.
Interesting. So there are two different kinds of care then. The physical, if someone has physical impairment, but there's also cognitive impairment too. That I guess the point I'm trying to make is people think of long-term care and they think of old people. It's not necessarily that. We need to start thinking about it when we're young because of rates. I mean, is it less expensive to take it out when you're younger?
All right. What's the difference in the rates if you start like in your 30s as opposed to when you're 55?
Well, it depends on the individual, but, you know, I've had...
Yeah, just ballpark.
Ballpark, maybe under $100 if you're in your 30s, and then it can be $300 a month plus.
When you're in your 50s?
50s and 60s.
Yeah. Wow, so that's significant.
It is significant, not to mention it's almost like, you know, car insurance. People don't think about it till they have an accident.
Right, when you need
it. Yeah, exactly. So you definitely need to plan for your future. Now, you mentioned a little bit about what a policy would cover. Long-term care is expensive. I mean, can you speak to that a little bit? I mean, if someone's in a nursing home or assisted living, talk a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, in Atlanta, nursing home daily averages right now are $169 a day. Assisted living monthly averages are $2,700 per month. Home health care hourly rate averages are $29 per hour. you know, these costs are above and beyond your regular household bills. Mm-hmm. So it can really add up. And I will say on a personal note, my mother passed away in 2006 from stage 4 colon cancer. And my husband and I had to come out of pocket $6,000 a month.
Wow.
Until she passed away.
Wow.
So, you know, personally, I know that there is a lot of value to having a policy like that in place.
No doubt. I mean, I don't know many people that can afford an unexpected $6,000 a month expense. That's a lot of money.
Most people can't.
Right. Exactly. So your services go beyond just long-term care, though. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? How do you work with your clients? That's just one piece of the pie, right?
Just one piece. Yeah. Basically, for me, I work with investments, insurance, but we're really focused on building relationships, really learning about what each individual person or family's needs are, and then cultivating, you know, a program through, you know, life insurance, disability, long-term care, investments, what have you, that meets their individual needs. But it's really based on the, you know, focused on the relationship.
And really getting to know the clients. And some of them are small business owners. I think that's something a lot of people don't think of. They think of keeping their business separate from their personal, but you sort of merge them together, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, when you are a business owner, there's a lot of, you know, with family and yourself, you know, having a lot of money coming out for long-term care needs for yourself or your family can get, you know, can be a huge impact. One thing in the state of Georgia is that if you're a business owner and you have some a long-term care policy, part of those premiums can be written off on your taxes. But that would be something that you'd need to talk to your individual CPA about.
But you're pretty active in the community as well, right? Aren't you mm-hmm. involved in some...
Yes. Well, I'm the president of the Kiwanis Club of Decatur, and I just came off, but I was on the board of directors for Senior Connections, which does the Meals on Wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Great organization.
What does the Kiwanis do?
Kiwanis is really focused on service for children, and so we do annual Toys for Tots drive. We do different fundraising. One of my favorite programs is we do Reading is Fundamental. We bring in free books to kids in underprivileged schools.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, we've had like mounted police officers and professional storytellers and firemen all dressed up. And it's a lot of fun.
Now, from a business standpoint, can you talk about the importance of being involved in those kind of community activities?
Oh, it's just huge to be involved in different things because, you know, really having, you know, touching and impacting people in a lot of different ways, regardless if it affects your business directly,
mm-hmm.
is so important. 'Cause I, you know, I look at it personally as, you know, when you bring the community up, everybody rises with the water.
That's great advice because
yeah.
you do. You meet people and you start building those relationships and building that trust through the community and through your work, and you do so much. I mean, it's interesting. They say that you like the Kevin Bacon factor. I think
right.
Faye is the Kevin Bacon for me.
She's Kevin Bacon for Atlanta.
She's mm-hmm. Kevin Bacon for Atlanta. I don't know that there are many people that I've met that then you say, oh, do you know Faye? Oh, yeah, I know Faye. And it's always through a different channel. I mean, it's through gardening or it's through something or it's through cornhole.
There you
Absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely.
You never know. Can you just maybe wrap it up a little bit about long-term care? You've heard it over and over again. I mean, maybe give us a little bit of
yeah,
advice.
Yeah, you talked about
it.
A personal story about you and it was $6,000. Do you have one where the person had the insurance and then they were able to kind of save some money or they were protected?
Well, absolutely. There's a situation where an individual had purchased long-term care for one of their family members, their mother, and she ended up having Alzheimer's. By the way, she just did pass away in December, but her care was $120,000 a year for 24-hour care, and, you know, the policy that they got covered most of it, but not all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very impactful in that sense. But, you know, things to just consider to avoid having to do that is, you know, just make sure you maintain a healthy lifestyle, receive annual checkups with a medical professional, you know, those things can't eliminate the need for long-term care, but, you know, they can definitely help minimize those risks. And, you know, long-term care policies today, you know, offer you freedom of choice when it's needed most, and that's to help, you know, cover those long-term care costs.
I think the freedom of choice is really important to point out because there's risk involved, but, you know, we're all going to grow old, and who wants to be in the little shared room, tiny hole when you can have other options? And I think that that's a really good point, is right. The long-term care does offer up a lot of other options and freedom for you. Faye, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
And how can folks reach you? What's your contact information?
Well, the best way to reach me is, either by phone, which is 404-354-1039, or email, which is Faye, F-A-Y-E, dot Vantrese, V-A-N-T-R-E-E-S-E, at NMFN, which is Nancy Mark Frank Nancy.com.
We're going to put that link on there too.
Perfect.
I have a website. Terrific. Or LinkedIn or whatever you want.
Yeah, and we do have if you go to the Northwestern Mutual website, you can get more information about long-term care, and you can find out a little bit more about me.
Excellent. Thanks, Faye.
Thank you.
Now you know why I like Faye so much, Lee.
Yeah.
Can you tell? We'd have a lot
your
of
buddies.
Fun together. Yes, absolutely. And when you talk about buddies, everybody needs a buddy when it comes to geriatric care and counseling. And I'm very thrilled to have with us today Tom Corrigan, who is a geriatric consultant. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thanks. Good to be here.
So, Tom, what does that mean, a geriatric consultant? What's your background?
You need help getting old? You help people get old?
We do. We all need help getting old. I mean, the other alternative we all know. Well, in essence, my background is clinical social work, and there's a profession a lot of people aren't aware of. It's called Certified Geriatric Care Managers. It's a fairly new profession, and what we do, we came about as a matter of needs from families who cannot manage that care anymore. They either cannot handle the time required, they don't have the resources, or financially they just need to have somebody else overseeing all those complicated needs. So we manage that care in a very comprehensive manner.
Maybe walk us through a scenario that may work. I mean, when would someone contact you, and then walk us through how that goes?
Well, ideally, I think of this almost, it should be more of a preventative kind of approach, but folks tend to contact us, as they do many healthcare providers, when they're in a crisis. I mean, we should have our long-term care insurance in place, just like we have financial advisors. Everybody, I think, should have a geriatric care manager, at least to do an initial assessment, just to kind of get a baseline of how the person's doing, both cognitively, physically, environmentally, providing resources, managing those needs, and putting together a comprehensive plan of care. So a good scenario would be, I had a client 4 years ago who moved down here from New York by her son, who lives in Atlanta, very hands-off, but he wanted the best for his mom. Well, she was had dementia. She did not have a clue where she was. She didn't even know where Georgia was. She was lived in New York in the same apartment for 40 years, was of Jewish heritage, and all of a sudden she found herself in the South with different foods. People had different accents, and she was quite traumatized emotionally. So we came in. She also came down here with her husband, who was very medically fragile. So our team of social workers and nurses came in, stabilized both of them, put together a plan of care, found medical specialists, escorted them to the doctors, interpreted those doctors' visits and reports, maintain those records, and in the whole process befriended her and helped her and the community she moved to get acquainted and assimilate both cultures so that she felt comfortable. And in the end, her husband died. We were there at the time of death. We escorted them to the hospital, just helped her with that grief support, and brought in resources such as home health, those kind of needs when appropriate.
Wow, that definitely helps paint the picture.
Huge.
Yeah, what a great resource. You think about it, when someone's living in a place that long, too, to move even to the South, like you said, where the grocery stores are different and they don't have their comfort, and those are little things we don't think of. And also, so many of us live all over the world, and our parents are in different places. I would find great comfort in having someone like you close to my parents, absolutely. Now, you talked a little bit when we spoke last about elder care law. It's sort of a subspecialty, elder care law. Let us know a little bit about that and what it refers to.
Mm-hmm. I also work with a wonderful elder law attorney here in Atlanta, Patricia Elrod Hill. And basically, it is a subspecialty. They work a lot with probate and estate, special needs, Medicaid planning, VA benefits, guardianship, conservatorship. And what they do is they work with the families, again, in planning ahead of time. If somebody's going to need to go into an assisted living or to a nursing home, there's certain things you need to prepare for as far as your assets, allocating those into special trusts so that those monies can be set aside and protected and used for their care down the road. So I think a lot of people think about VA benefits, and some don't know about that, but it's a great resource that an elder law attorney can not only hook you up with, but also look at your resources and how to protect those and how to allocate those so that you are qualified for different programs available.
So if there's a senior who is maybe eligible for VA benefits, mm-hmm. they may not be aware of it. Is that so they would contact somebody like you to help them with this, or is it difficult to navigate the VA?
It can be. It's a kind of a well-kept secret in a lot of circles. And I think what someone like Patricia Elrod Hill, who worked for the VA for 11 years, she still volunteers there. She knows exactly how to get the family to prepare the paperwork, not only to qualify for VA, but how to get to that step. So in other words, if you have a home and you're overqualified in assets, what can you do to maybe put that home into a family member's name, put money set aside for a Miller Trust if you're looking at nursing home placement, different kind of asset protection so that money can be used for your care and stretched out for a longer period of time, definitely.
Now, is this something you only work with people here in Atlanta, Georgia area, or is it can anybody from anywhere in the country contact you?
Well, it's kind of like the care management. We both work in a vast network of our professional associations. There's an elder law attorney professional network here. Also nationally, we have professional networking opportunities so that if I get a call from a family in Kansas, say, who needs somebody to manage their care, I can go to my professional resource and network mm-hmm. and find somebody appropriate. And a lot of times we work with people in that respect. The woman I told you about that moved here from New York, that's exactly what happened. Somebody in our professional network was working with her in New York and said, I need to find a care manager in Atlanta, and chose us based on our expertise and the fact that we have a team approach.
Right. Well, I was just wondering if the reverse was true, because a lot of people that are listening here in town might have parents that live elsewhere.
Sure.
We'd be able to help them in that regard.
Sure, sure. And we can work both ways. If the person's going to be brought here, we can get their paperwork done. If they're moving to Georgia, a lot of people don't realize they may have a will from 30 years ago. They don't know where that will is, what state it was written in, who witnessed it, are those witnesses still alive? So it's a matter of updating and making it state-specific. So depending where the person's going to reside, we'll hook them up with an attorney appropriate in that location.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an important point about the will. If somebody moves here, they're probably not, they think they're covered because they have a will, but it could be from a different state they reside in, and that can open up some problems, right?
Exactly, and also with their living wills, with their health care executive powers of attorneys, those can be state-specific in nature. So you really want an elder law attorney to review those.
Wow. You don't know what you don't know.
Exactly. It wouldn't even be in their radar. They'd think they have it covered.
Absolutely. What are some of the changes, Tom? I mean, you've been in this industry a long time. You've been in healthcare over 25 years. What are some of the changes in as far as geriatric consultants and the senior market that you see coming down in maybe the next 10 years?
Well, I think the changes I've seen are both positive and negative. I think the wonderful thing is, especially in a great city like Atlanta, we have all kinds of new subspecialties. We have all kinds of resources like here today that help with geriatrics and seniors to help them age in place, to help with those tough medical issues. However, that causes the system to be rather fragmented, and there's nobody really steering the boat, so to speak. So I see the care management piece really evolving and becoming more of a popular resource for families, as far as we are the one constant as they go from hospital to assisted living to maybe rehab facility, nursing home. We're the one constant that's following them. We have mm-hmm. their profiles. We're keeping updates on their information. So a lot of families say, I can't manage all this. They think their specialists all speak to each other on the golf course, so we're the ones bringing to the medical professionals what's going on. When I take a client to a specialist, I have a letter introducing the client, what specifically is going on medically and why we're there today, and they really appreciate that because they don't have time to review records. I mean,
sure.
That just isn't part of the game plan.
People need to reach out and call Tom, I think.
I think so.
Definitely. Tom, give us your contact information so our listeners know how to reach you.
Certainly. My direct line is 404-791-8234. And my email contact is Tom, and that's with an H. You can blame that on my parents, T-H-O-M, Corrigan, C-O-R-R-I-G-A-N, at bellsouth.net.
Perfect. Gosh, I think I need to talk to him about my aging parents and in-laws, although it's you don't know what you don't know. Like
right.
that. I mean, how often do you need to review a will? I guess that's my last question for you.
How long?
Or how often do you need to review a will?
I think once you have it, if it's been written within the last 10 years and it's state specific, I think
like
just
weekly.
but as things change, if there's been a major life change, if you've become widowed, if you've lost a child, I think one of the things we're seeing more is, you know, the wonderful thing about all this great care is we're living longer.
Right.
And we get a lot of people coming to us in their 80s saying, I have a child now, maybe with developmentally disabilities, Down syndrome, things like that. They're aging, and I need to put a plan into place for them. And that's yeah. where someone like Patty Elrod Hill can put together a special needs trust. So they're having to plan for their adult children, not just for themselves. And mm-hmm. we hear about the sandwich generation. I think we're seeing a club sandwich generation, as one family member told me. We're just have, you know, our parents, our children, our grandchildren with the economy, they're moving back in. And so people are stressed out and need someone to manage all that.
Wow. I mean, we know who our listeners should turn to, definitely. Thanks, Tom, for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Kind of puts it all into one. I mean, I like that. Definitely.
Right. Somebody,
yeah, to manage
to be
it.
The point and, guard.
Exactly, to be the point guard. And, you know, we talked about assisted living and other options, but sometimes your folks or the elderly can stay in their own home.
And I'm sure they'd like to,
oh,
as long as they
yes.
can.
You know, my in-laws moved from their beach house that was multi-level to a ranch, and they're in their 80s just so they could have more parties.
There you go.
It had nothing to do with the stairs. They just wanted to have more
elevator.
Parties.
Elevator. Bring in the elevator.
Absolutely. Our next guest, though, is here to tell us how you can modify your home for older adults or those with special needs. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Scott Anderson.
Good morning, Amy.
So, Scott, tell us a little bit about aging in place. You know, that does seem like things older folks do want to stay in their homes or those with special needs. How do you go about modifying their home, and how did you get into this industry?
Yes, we specialize in modifying homes for seniors to party.
So you can put an elevator in for their beach house? You could have done that?
We can do that. We can do that. Trivest Construction is a general construction company, a regular commercial construction company, but about 6 years ago we decided to add an aging in place division, and that's a residential part of our business, although we work with individuals as well as commercial aging facilities as well. So we just thought that it was a good business to get into. Trivest Construction is a hands-on kind of an operation, and senior home modifications require a lot of hands-on. And
what are some of the common modifications you make when you go into a home?
Well, there are many more than most people think about. Most of us think about adding a ramp so that you can get a wheelchair or a walker from one level to another, or in the
elevator for the beach house.
The elevator for the beach house, that's right. And a lot of people think about installing grab bars or changing a...
Like in the shower.
In the shower, that's right. But actually, there are literally hundreds of things that we can do to a house specific to the needs of the people who are living in that house. And, you know, some of the less obvious ones would be... better lighting. We oftentimes add lighting to closets. We may add under cabinet lighting in the kitchen. People with vision troubles sometimes have a hard time finding their switches, their electric switches or their plugs. So for about 50 cents a piece, we can take a tan switch plate off of a tan wall and replace it with a dark brown switch plate, and all of a sudden they can find their switches. So
do you ever have to like kind of soundproof the rooms because they blast the TV so loud that their neighbors are like...
Holy!
So I have that problem with my father.
You do.
I know where he's watching TV when I enter the area.
as you drive up.
Right.
Yeah, usually in the houses that we work, most people in the house share that same need, so it's not usually that a problem. Important, right? Oftentimes, we'll look at 6 different categories when we go into a house. We look at if a person's in a wheelchair, obviously that suggests a certain types of modifications that may be required. Other mobility issues, if they're in a walker or if they use a walker or they can't go up and down stairs like you've talked about, Lee. Do they have any gripping problems? Do they have arthritis? Safety, of course, is always an issue. There's our grab bars that we're talking about. Vision, and do they have trouble with bending? Do things need to be raised? Does the dishwasher need to be higher? Does the washer and dryer need to be higher? So, like I say, there are literally hundreds of things that we can do to a house to improve conditions for specific needs.
And sometimes that could be like you could widen halls, right, and archways or something to get through, like if they have a wheelchair. Isn't that some of the needs sometimes?
With a wheelchair, wider doorways typically the problem, yes. To have a 24-inch doorway and a 30-inch wide wheelchair, and so we oftentimes need to widen doorways. If a doorway is just a little too narrow, oftentimes we can just put a special kind of a hinge on a door for a few dollars and widen that door 2 inches because the door doesn't open into the space itself. So we can gain a couple of inches very easily. But most of the time you need 4, 5, 6 inches, and in that case we need to tear out the existing door and frame and replace it with a wider one. So when we do our initial assessment with the client, we always look at the various systems in the home to make sure that, for instance, if we need to widen a door, we want to make sure that the roof doesn't fall in when we take the header out. So we look at the structural system, we look at electrical systems, we look at the heating and air conditioning system and the plumbing system so that whatever changes we may need to make, we make sure that the house will either accept those changes or we make sure we know what else we need to change in the system in order to accommodate those changes.
Now, there's a lot of folks in the Atlanta market that do construction. Do you have a special certification or something that makes you an aging in place specialist?
When we decided to join this type of business 6 years ago, we became CAPS certified. That's an acronym, CAPS, that stands for Certified Aging in Place Specialist. And that's a program that was developed several years ago with a combination of the National Association of Home Builders and AARP. And they designed this system to try to help general remodelers and general builders become better at dealing with the senior market. So not only does it teach us about different kinds of modifications that we can make in a house that are appropriate, but it teaches us how to work better with seniors. I'm pretty good at that because I are one.
No.
We attend specific trade shows. We work with continuing education products, and we renew our registration within this process every year. So we adhere to a code of ethics and work with community service projects.
What's the most rewarding part of your job?
Well, it may be surprising, but almost every project that we do is rewarding because we're improving really basic lifestyle problems for a person, and some of those can be surprisingly simple. We've taken out bathtubs and then replaced them with zero entry, what we call roll-in showers, which means that you can roll a wheelchair directly into the shower without having a curb. And sometimes we'll install one of those, and a person hasn't had a shower or a real bath for literally years.
Wow, that would make a huge difference.
It's such a simple thing that we all take for granted.
But it's like
it's
a daily thing that,
right.
It's annoying every day.
Mm-hmm.
And they can alleviate that, and sometimes you can keep a person in their home, could save them a fortune if they had to move somewhere else, right?
That's right. Yeah, the first thing we're interested in is safety, of course. We want to make sure that the home is safe. So we look for problems in safety first, and then we start looking at just making it more comfortable and making them more independent. But in the process, the cost of assisted living is high. There's certainly a good place in the market for that, and so each family has to make a decision which is best for their loved one. But for several months in assisted living, we can make a lot of construction changes in a house as well. And sometimes it's a combination where we allow them to stay in their house a little longer than they might have. And then they still may end up choosing assisted living down the road.
Wonderful. A lot of great information. How can folks reach you?
Well, the best way is my cell phone, because I always have that with me. My cell phone number is 678-772-7732. Alternatively, we have a company website called www.trivestconstruction.com. That's T-R-I-V-E-S-T, construction.com. Or my email address is kanders3@bellsouth.net. It's K as in karma, A, N as in never, D as in David, E, R as in Rover, S as in Sam, the number 3@bellsouth.net.
Perfect. Gosh, thanks so much for being with us today, Scott. We appreciate your insight. You know, Lee, last night I was actually out with some girlfriends, and for the very first time, I couldn't read the menu.
Yeah, I've had that.
Oh, that's no fun.
It's glasses but, time?
Yeah, reading glasses. But not only that, but they pointed out to me, they brought out a shoebox with reading glasses and little flashlights.
They had a shoebox with them?
Mm-hmm, a little shoebox.
What kind of friends do you have?
No, not my friends. The waiter brought out the shoebox with the reading glasses and the flashlights, because obviously I'm not the only one that has that problem.
Obviously. And I thought, ready. This is a great restaurant.
Exactly.
How prepared is this?
That's exactly what I thought. But those are things you don't think about until all of a sudden it hits you, and I'm looking at it going, does that say Cabernet? I can't.
Right.
Yeah. You don't think about those things, but definitely having the modifications in your home. I could probably use better lighting in my closet.
Cause yeah.
Who couldn't?
Right. It's a gradual thing. It gets worse over time, and you don't notice it.
Yeah, exactly. Our next guest this morning, not only is she an expert in her field, but, not everybody can stay in their home. So we like to hear about the other options, and we've talked about assisted living. There are some that do it better than others. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show this morning. We have Jill from Sunrise Senior Living. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
So tell us about Sunrise Senior Living. What is assisted living, first of all?
Senior living has definitely evolved throughout the years, and assisted living is a special combination of housing with specialized support services for our seniors, people that need help with their activities of daily life. So many people can have challenges with just bathing or getting dressed or eating, and Sunrise can help seniors that have those challenges.
So who is the typical Sunrise Senior Living resident? I mean, maybe give us a snapshot of their age or what their needs might be.
Absolutely. A typical resident within assisted living is an 80-year-old female who typically is widowed and needs some assistance with 2 to 3 activities of daily living, so monitoring her medications or bathing. And also, we also have about 40% of our population is also males, and a lot of those are veterans. We work very closely with the VA, and we help our war heroes, and we support them as well.
Now, what's like the day-to-day life for someone who's there? Like, they wake up in the morning, like 5 in the morning, right?
Well, some don't go to bed till 5 o'clock in the morning. One of the best things that assisted living allows is that we take each individual, and each individual has unique needs. And with Sunrise, we enable their choices. And if they choose to go to bed at 5 o'clock in the morning, that's fine. If they choose to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
So you have 24-hour care, right?
We have 24 hours. We have, it is restaurant-style dining. It is, we have housekeeping there. We also have our designated care managers who work individually with our residents to help improve their quality of their life.
Is there like a social director?
We have activities directors.
Activities director.
And so we have happy hour. So please, everybody,
with, like,
come and join
drinking
us.
Drinking happy hour?
Absolutely. We have
wow.
wine and beer and whatever their needs are. Just because they live in assisted living doesn't mean that their lives stop.
Right.
We encourage them to continue.
To drink.
Definitely.
I know that would be your focus, Lee.
Look, everybody, you said you'd accommodate me. That's what you said.
But I do like the fact that they're communities, because I think the more active you are, the younger you stay. And it, I mean, what a great way to encourage activity in offering lots of different options for folks. What maybe walk us through the social part. I mean, I'm interested. If I want to buy my own groceries, can I cook my own meals?
Well, we provide all of our meals right there.
Okay.
We have our chefs are on site, and they have menus that our residents choose what they'd like to have. But if something's not on the menu, we'll make it for them.
They don't have to go shopping for food?
They don't have to go shopping for food or beverages or anything. Mm-hmm. We'll have it on site. We have a wonderful resident here in Decatur that every night before she goes to sleep, she likes to have a bowl of Cheerios without milk. She likes to just munch on them.
Right.
It's been something that she's done since she's a child. And so her family said, you know, this is something that she's always done. And we're like, well, we can do that. We
right.
provide that. So every night she goes to bed at about 9:30 every night at 9 o'clock, we come up, we have her bowl of Cheerios that
wow.
we bring for her, because that's what
that's
she wants.
That's her routine, right? Yeah.
And we don't want to change her routine. We want her to continue
to feel comfortable.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. High quality days.
So what if you have the grandparents or the parents that have said, please promise me you'll never put me in a home? How do you deal with that?
We have that on a daily basis. I personally had that situation with my grandmother. She was 90 years old, and she had a distended aneurysm, and she thought she had 3 months to live. That's what we were all told. And we went and we visited some assisted livings, and it was something that was life-altering.
I bet.
Because it was going to a nursing home, which was not something that we wanted to have happen, or assisted living, because they could care for her. She lived an additional 4 years and gained 25 needed pounds because the food was incredible. She had social outlets. She played on the Wii. She played bowling on the Wii. She went shopping. She went to new restaurants. Mm-hmm. She had additional chapters in her life because of assisted living. Assisted living changes people's lives.
Right. I've heard that assisted living, there's a lot of action going on with seniors. Isn't that a little kind of... People don't realize that.
A lot of action.
Now, what type of action are you talking about?
Socializing. Extracurricular socializing.
We go to the Fox here in Atlanta.
You have
absolutely.
Field trips?
We have lots of field trips. We go to the Fox Theater. We were there at Christmas time enjoying those activities. Also, we have had residents that have gotten married at the ripe age of 90 and 92 because they had been widowers.
Right.
And they did find love again. And it was wonderful because once again they had the opportunity to fall in love again.
Right. And it's a renewed purpose and stuff.
Absolutely.
I'm sure that happens more times than people realize.
Oh, I'm sure. And someone's doing your laundry and cooking your meals.
Gotta love that.
I mean, all the pressures of family life.
It's sounding good for me.
No doubt. Definitely, no doubt. It's interesting. My grandmother lived to be 103, and the assisted living center she was in was 2 blocks from where she lived. So we had to take her out onto the expressway and around a few blocks to drop her off so she didn't realize she could have walked home. She was there for 12 years. I mean,
wow.
103.
How long does someone typically stay there?
Is 12 years
a long time?
No. We've had many residents that have been with us for 10 to 15 years. I think that people, unfortunately, move their mom or dad or sister or brother into assisted living when they think it's at the end.
Right.
Unfortunately, they don't get the full life of what assisted living can do. It's the socialization. It's getting out there. But many of our residents, like my grandmother, who said the physician said she has 3 months to live, she lived for 4 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because of the high quality of care that we provide and also the socialization.
Yes.
She had a purpose to get
sure.
up every day. And we embrace whatever choices at Sunrise, and we let them choose every day what they'd like and what we can do to have successful days.
Do you work with a lot of volunteers that bring, like maybe the scouts or something, that bring people in to interact with the residents?
Absolutely. We do lots of cross-generational activities where we have it was fabulous here at our Dunwoody location at Brighton Gardens. We had trick-or-treating for Halloween. I know that at our location in Buckhead, Sunrise of Buckhead on Lenox, we had tree decorating, menorah lighting. We did many activities, not just during the holidays, but also gardening activities. At Huntcliffe over here on Roswell Road, we have full gardens over there where they plant their vegetables, and the kids enjoy that, because what better way to really improve someone's life than to go out there and bite into a fresh tomato?
That's a really nice facility on Roswell Road. We were there for Christmas caroling. And maybe walk us through for our listeners. Give us a visual, because I was surprised when I walked in. You always think it's going to smell bad and it's going to be dingy.
They're like hotels.
It's very nice. Walk us through maybe what someone can expect.
When you come into an assisted living, you should let all of your senses be affected. You should look at the lighting. You should smell. You should hear the sounds, because I think that that gives a true representation of what a assisted living is. You walk into a Sunrise and you're welcomed by fresh flowers. We have usually bread baking or cookies going. We have lots of people doing lots of activities. Come in at 10:30 and watch out, because they're usually going on the bus to go someplace to an activity, maybe to a new restaurant, or going and doing music. We have many professional musicians that come in from the area that volunteer to come in because they love to play music for our seniors. Also, we have volunteers that come in and work with reading to our reminiscence neighborhoods, which is our Alzheimer's and dementia. And many people go out and to our reminiscence neighborhoods because they have dementia or they're cognitively in decline, they still can paint and they still can be involved in many activities.
Right.
So we encourage everyone to come in and fully experience what assisted living should be.
If people are interested in a tour or want to know more, how can they get in touch with you, Jill?
They can go online and they can go to www.sunriseseniorliving.com, and they can visit any one of our many communities here in the greater Atlanta area. We have 13 communities. Or they can contact me via my cell phone, which is 678-313-2907. And then also my email, which is jill.surani, S-U-R-A-N-I-E, at sunriseseniorliving.com. But I encourage everyone to come in, have lunch at Sunrise, and you'll experience the difference.
That's great.
That's a great idea. We should stop by for lunch.
There you go.
Cookies.
Maybe that's where we should have the mixer.
You can always come and have a mixer, Lee, and have
a couple
cocktails.
Hundred people. I can invite a couple.
Hey, we're having a celebration over at Huntcliffe. They just did a huge renovation, so come over and enjoy happy hour there.
Well, think about it.
I will say that the Huntcliffe location, my son played piano there through some kind of a recital. I guess it was 2 years ago. And one of the older residents got up and played with him.
Wow,
he will never forget that. It was Dave Brubeck, Take Five. And he got up and was playing. I mean, there wasn't a dry eye in the house.
That's nice.
And Cole couldn't understand why everybody was so choked up. And he was like, he was in his 80s and he was playing with you. But, you know, you realize that they are very active.
Yeah, and they want those moments.
Never a dull
continue,
moment.
Right.
Never a dull moment. Although our next guest... I'm not really even sure. I'm not even sure what kind of transition is appropriate for this, but something we all need to think about and all need to talk about. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Chris, from the Cremation Society of the South. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
But you're more than just with the Cremation Society of the South. You have a lot of expertise and a lot of things to talk about, so go at it.
Well, some of the biggest challenges we have when we meet families, really, they know what they want for their loved one. Someone has passed and they're choosing cremation or maybe even burial. But especially with cremation, we have challenges when a person has passed and maybe they're divorced or widowed. And they have three children
and maybe, just like all of our families, our dynamics are no different than the families we meet, and our own families are no different. They pass, and there's a requirement to authorize the cremation by the legal next of kin. And maybe one of those children they've lost touch with for various reasons. It could be mental illness. It could just be an argument. And in many states, and especially here in the state of Georgia, to authorize one's cremation, all children or two-thirds of the degree of kinship, if it's a case where someone has lost a spouse, and then they pass, their children have to authorize the cremation. So without that third person or that majority, two-thirds majority, we're at a standstill and unfortunately cannot provide cremation services without legal intervention or even another disposition choice. So they're forced into a burial, which could triple, if not quadruple, the cost.
Wow. Now, how has things changed for the funeral industry as a whole with people living all over the place? Has it impacted that? Because, you know, now you have the siblings and family members all over the country, whereas, you know, back in the day, everybody used to grow up in the same area, so it would make sense to be, oh, we'll be buried there because that's where we all live. But now you have people living everywhere. Did that increase the number of people getting cremated? Like, how has it impacted the industry?
It's impacted two ways. Primarily, the choice of cremation is on the rise. It's predicted by 2023. Of all the folks that pass, 50% of those folks will choose cremation.
And what is it now?
Right now, throughout the nation, it's in the 20s. And wow. Our state, in the metro Atlanta area, because of that mobile society that we have here in the metro area, it's predicted that it's about 34 to 36% of those who pass will choose cremation. Mm-hmm. Again, that's on the rise. But cremation, if that's one's choice, offers a lot of options for those who have families, members throughout the country. They can, instead of a fast 3 days of viewing the loved one and paying their respects and their friends attending, they can choose cremation with or without a viewing prior to cremation, but then plan on a honoring, and that's a word that we like to use in our business, a memorial service or an honoring 2 weeks from now. So it's on a Saturday when people can travel, mm-hmm. and they can get the word out through the network of the internet and friends, and all attend. And if not attend, they could send their well wishes via the internet, fax machines, emails, telephone calls, or even flowers or letters that are sent. And those can be shared during that honoring of the life that was lived and enjoyed by family and friends.
Is the cremation part of a burial and all that, is that usually something that someone requests beforehand? Is it part of a will? I mean, is it just a wish? I mean, how do people usually communicate that?
Well, as our other guests today have shared with us, as we get older, we start thinking of our own demise. We mm-hmm. know that at some point we all will pass away, and it gets a little easier to express those wishes to family members. Easier for the person to tell their children what their choices are versus the children asking mom or dad or Uncle Bill what their choice is. We do encourage, and that comes from personal experience as well, we encourage that folks would write down their wishes and express those to their loved ones. It doesn't require a prepayment with the funeral provider or a cremation society, but the expression of their wishes is a way to fulfill and honor someone's choices versus trying to buy all the options available to make sure that you've honored your loved one the right way or hit all the bases.
I've got to ask, your background is very sordid. I'm looking at your resume sorted? Right now. I mean, it's like kind of all over the board, but a lot of just very different types of activities.
Yeah, like how'd you get in this? Like, what was that career path? You were a kid and yeah. thought that one day you'd be where you are?
It's never thought I'd be where I'm at. Life gives you opportunities, and some of those are out of tragic situations. I was 37 years old yesterday, and
happy birthday!
Thank you very much, very much. Had a great birthday with family. But at 28 years old, I was the vice president of and chief operating officer of a nationwide trucking company, very sizable. And had just been married, and a few months later, my mother found out that she had stage 4 ovarian cancer. And for those who don't know what stage four is, it's four. It's not four out of ten. It's one through four.
Right. Yeah.
And so we were faced with her care and also her death. Unfortunately, we went. We did not plan. Mom did not at 51 years old.
Wow.
Did not write down what her wishes were, and so we went to the funeral provider. Mom had shared a little bit with me as the man of the family. I grew up in a single-parent household with all girls, sisters that are twins and 5 years older. But we sat down with the funeral director, and he said, everyone must agree. And so it gave the opportunity to my sisters to create their own honoring for my mother versus what she had shared with me. Since it was not documented or she did not write it down in her own handwriting, there was really no proof. It was hearsay, and you have those problems when someone passes. And so we were the end result. We did honor Mom very well, and I'm sure the funeral home appreciated the $20,000 expense to us and $20,000 worth of revenue to them. Would have been fine if that's what we had chosen, but we were sold and motivated to buy additional items. And with our firm and other firms in the area and throughout the nation. Really, a family should be able to express their wishes and tell the director exactly what they want versus being sold. And the way around that is to have each of you or one of your loved ones or your parents write down exactly what they want. If they want it simple, that's fine. If they want it elaborate, that's fine as well. And then you can make decisions as to how to prepay or fund or have money in reserve to honor that life lived.
It is always an interesting conversation to have with folks, too. But by the way, my mom has told me she would like to be cremated and half of her body at the shoe department at Dillard's and the other half at Dairy Queen.
Well,
and she's very serious about that.
My wife will probably join her at Dillard's or Macy's at the shoe department at some point.
But who would think about that? But the services.
I guess your mom thought about it.
She definitely did. And I remember my sister and I saying, really? And she goes, no, really. I mean, that's really what I want. And we're kind of surprised. I'm still surprised. But to walk us maybe through how a client works with you and what are some of the things that make you different?
Well, the first question we ask is really, what are their choices? Have they thought about it? We ask if their family dynamics, how many children are they married? Sometimes someone may be married and they come in, but alone because their spouse is not real sure about making these arrangements. It's not an easy topic. It's difficult for some and easy for others. The questions that we ask are what your disposition options are, if you or choices. Do you want to be cremated? And if so, what your religion is, because there are some religions that have some guidelines that people may not be aware of, even if they are of that religion, so we advise them. And again, the most important thing that we do is we provide necessary forms to document their wishes and gather vital statistics information, so at the time of passing, we can share that with the family members. If Uncle Bill has passed, we're gonna show his family his documented wishes in his handwriting. So there's no question and no opportunity for a funeral director, especially at our organization, to sell them something else. Because it says Uncle Bill only wants to be cremated and would like to have a memorial service at the country club or his cremains scattered on the golf course or the driving range.
Sure. Yeah, it's so important. Definitely.
They're difficult conversations, but you got to do it.
Absolutely. So, Chris, how can folks reach you?
The easiest way to reach our organization is through our website. It's very interactive, has a lot of answers to a lot of interesting questions or questions that maybe is on the mind. It's www.c for cremation, s for society, and the word south.com. So it's CS South. Or toll-free is 1-800-474-0448, and the last number locally is 770-420-5557.
Wonderful. Thanks for being with us today, Chris. We appreciate your insight. We hope people will reach out and check out the website. I know there's a lot of valuable information. Some of the questions we've asked you today are actually answered there, but thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
And not to end on a somber note, but you know what? It's something to think about. How do you want to be remembered? I, you know, shoot me an email. I'd like to know. How do you want to be remembered?
You'll forward it to Chris.
and I will. We'll start a little collection of them here. As business owners, as folks in the Atlanta area, you know, you're active in your community, but how do you really want to be remembered? Not to end on a somber note, but get you thinking. And Lee, yeah, until next week.